For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. Spring has finally arrived, and with the season change, we begin to reflect on Easter. I would like to be the first to invite you to our special Resurrection Sunday service at 10:30 a.m., where the choir will be performing a musical entitled Amazing Love. This morning, Pastor Holland will examine the book of Matthew as Jesus partakes of the Last Supper. During this famous event, the fate of Jesus was finally made clear to all of the disciples. It would be the body of Christ that would be sacrificed to provide salvation through his eternal kingdom. We will now begin the two-part series entitled, The Final Meal.
I want to speak to you the subject today of a final meal. A final meal. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 26 will be beginning in verse number 26. The Bible said, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. We're soon approaching the greatest day, I believe, on our calendar, and that being Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Palm Sunday is the Sunday that represents the day that the Lord Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And then there was a week that passed by and many things that were done during that week as he came. The Bible prophesied of that. Isn't it good to go to the New Testament and read about things that have already been prophesied in the Old Testament? Again, it confirms to us that God has given to us the foreknowledge even before the time come in order that we might understand. But Zechariah 9 verse 9, he said, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt of the foal of an ass. We find the Lord Jesus entering into Jerusalem, a very humble. He came in order that he might present himself, but he came riding on a donkey. A donkey probably in that day was probably one of the most lowest animals that you might have. But Jesus chose that in order that he might enter in. And by the way, the donkey was borrowed. Not only was he borrowed, but he entered into the city of Jerusalem. When he rode into Jerusalem on the back of the donkey, he was presenting himself as the long-awaited King of the Jews. Now, the people in Jerusalem that day glorified him, and many acknowledged him. And nobody but Jesus that day fully understood what was transpiring and taking place. Even though much had been prophesied in the Old Testament about Jesus going and dying on the cross, many of the disciples still could not comprehend or understand what he was saying, but Jesus knew the day that he entered into Jerusalem exactly what was before him. He knew exactly what he was about to face. Truly, he came in a triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but that would trigger a series of events that would begin to take place over the next week. It was a busy week. In fact, it's the week that was known as the Passion Week. It started Palm Sunday and then the Passion Week leading up to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But during that week, he was very busy with many things. Let me share with you some things that he did during that week after he entered into Jerusalem. He visited and cleansed the temple. He preached against his enemies. He preached the Olivet Discourse. He spent time in Bethany with his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He observes the Passover with his disciples. He teaches the disciples many truths about himself, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the church. I would say he had a busy week. Reading what he did in that short week, I don't think that I've ever been that busy. And truly, he was busy doing what needed to be done. Now, the Passion passage that we're studying today and that we're looking at speaks about the events that occurred during the time of Jesus and his disciples as they were celebrating the Passover feast. At some point during the meal, Jesus turns the Passover into a completely different direction. He uses the elements of the Passover meal to illustrate what he is about to do for the people. And I want you to listen carefully because I believe it can be a help to you. I want you this morning, if you would, to join me and Jesus in the upper room as he's there with his disciples. I want to show you what a blessing it was that Jesus was sharing with them what he was going to do with his people. And so today, if you would join with me as we think about the final meal that I believe is of vital importance to you and I. The first thing we notice in verse 26 is the setting. We notice the setting. The events of this verse took place, as I've already said, during the observance of the Passover meal. Now, the Passover meal was very important observance for the people of Israel. They were commanded to keep the feast each year to memorialize and remember what God had done for them when he delivered them out of Egypt. They came together. It was a time of remembrance of what Christ had done. Now, I want you to listen. The meal consisted of several things. The Passover meal consisted of unleavened bread, of bitter herbs, and a roasted lamb. There's other elements that was used to the Passover. We don't have time to consider all them, so I'm just going to look, if you would this morning, at the unleavened bread, the bitter herbs, and the roasted lamb. Let's take a moment to consider the bread, the herbs, and the lamb. First of all, the unleavened bread was used to symbolize Israel's separation from Egypt. We've learned in the past, leaven is what we call yeast. It works in a dough to make it rise. Now, when the yeast or leaven is mixed into the dough, it spreads into the whole lump, infiltrating it in its entirety. When someone was baking bread in ancient Israel, they would make their dough and they'd mix in a small lump of leavened dough saved from a previous batch. And that would cause the new batch of dough to become leaven. This leavened bread was soft, airy, and delicious. Now, leaven in the Bible is oftentimes a picture of evil and how it spreads in our life. Sin always begins small and ends big. Now, this is the reason that God told the Israelites during the Passover to eat unleavened bread because of it meaning and representing Israel. Now, remember, the Israelites had been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. Now, any leavened bread the Israelites possessed would have had to have come from Egypt. God wanted his people to be holy. He wanted to be separate from the influence of Egypt. And so eating the unleavened bread at the Passover would remind the Israelites that they were to be different from any other person. Now, truly today, all of us know that if we're going to eat bread, we want something that'll make them rise because it's much better, much softer, much more airy and delicious if it has the leaven. But Jesus said, I don't want you to think about what you had in the past. I want you to be reminded that you're different now. You've come out of Egypt and I've freed you, and I want you to understand that when you eat your bread at the Passover, you're not to use any leaven to remind you of where you are and where you've been. Now, for an Israelite to eat leavened bread during the Passover was a grievous sin. It would cause the offender literally to be cut off from Israel. Exodus 12, verse 15. Look with me for a minute of the bitter herbs. The bitter herbs was there to remind them of the bitterness of their enslavement down in Egypt. I'm telling you, it was not a great thing to be down in Egypt and to be a slave. And so the bitter herbs was to remind them of that. This was not necessarily a meal that you and I would look forward to. It was probably not even a meal that the Israelites looked forward to, but it was a memorialized meal in order that they might stand the influence of all these things and that they might recall the bitterness of where they were. Everything from the death of the firstborn in Exodus chapter 2. And yet the brutal treatment they endured in the hands of the taskmasters, made for 400 years of horrible slavery, harsh treatment. When the Israelites ate the bitter herbs at the Passover, they would be reminded of where they used to be and where they are now and what God had done for them in their life. The third thing we notice was the roasted lamb. He lays out the criteria for what the Israelites were to do 14 days before the Passover. They was to go out and select the lamb. We're going to look at that in just a moment. But it was to be a lamb that they would bring in, they would keep for 14 days. And then on the day of Passover, they would shed the blood of the lamb. Every family was to choose a lamb. He'd be kept for 14 days, the lamb be killed, his blood would be collected upon the doorpost of the home. Again, the reminder of what Christ did. Now, the lamb and the blood is very important because God was going to judge Israel with that final plague. He told the people of Israel that he passed through the land on the night of the Passover. And when he did, every firstborn male in Egypt, whether human or animal, would die. Exodus 12:12, we find the only homes that were spared of the coming judgment were the homes that had the blood applied. Literally, the lamb would die for the Israelites. The lamb would take their place. God would accept that blood and that atonement, although there was no power in that blood, but it was in obedience to what God had commanded them in order that he might cleanse the sins of the people. Their homes where there was blood were spared the final judgment, and the homes without the blood were judged, and the firstborn would die. What does it mean for us? We're not Israelites. So what are the elements of the meal? How does that speak to us, and how can we be involved in that? Well, I believe today God expects his people to be a separated people. In fact, he tells us in the Word of God, come out from among them and be separate. I believe when the Israelites came out of Egypt, God wanted them to act like Israelites and not act like Egyptians. I believe that he wanted people to see a difference in their life. And I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, the Bible said, I became a new creature in Christ. Old things were passed away, and behold, all things became new. When people see me and see my life, they ought to know that there's a difference in our life. Now, the leaven of sin is to be removed from our lives. The Bible said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, today, sin, just a little sin, will take you down a path of destruction. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will take you to the depths of doing stupid things that you ought not do. I get tired of reading in the paper of people that are killed in car accidents because of alcohol. I think that nobody ought to have a part in it because I've seen it destroy lives. I've seen it take people's lives. And I tell you today, you'd say, oh, we're just having a good time. But I tell you, it's not such a good time when it takes your family or when it takes your friends and it takes people away from you that might still be here if they had not have got involved in a little sin that took them a lot further than they wanted to go. We're to avoid all sin at all cost. I believe we ought to love the sinner, but I don't think we need to go sit in the bar with them while they drink. I don't believe we ought to condone what they're doing and what they're involved in. I believe we ought to be friends to them, but I believe we ought to take a stand and a separation. And the Bible tells us we're to have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How do you reprove them? You don't reprove them by acting like they do. The example you need to set is, I don't go nowhere where they're doing that. I'm not going to be around that. I'm not going to touch that. We're to sanctify our lives. And the word leaven means we're to be holy and we're to be separate people. I believe the leaven today speaks of the separation that God desires and demands in our life in order that we might separate ourselves. Then there's the bitter herbs. In the Passover, it reminds us of the bitterness of our own sinful past. But let me tell you something. I've got a bad past. In fact, somebody said, why are you so narrow-minded? Because I used to be like I used to be, and when I got right with God, I wanted something different in my life. But on the other hand, I'm not going to get up here and tell you all the wonderful stories about when I did bad. Some people seem to glory in their past. I tell you today, I do not glory in my past, but I hang my head in shame.
It took the death of a king to provide salvation for the entire world. Christ's sacrifice for our sin was provided on the cross, and his eternal significance was proven through resurrection. Have you accepted the Savior? How will you honor the one who made such a great sacrifice for you? Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.